Did you see the title of the message?
Huh?
What has the pastor done now? Has he lost his mind? Eat more chicken. No one asks that anymore? I shouldn't ask it either, right? That's kind of a flippant thing to say on Sunday morning, to eat more chicken in it. Now, who am I supporting anyway? There's a reason I had that in there. It's the same reason. It's really interesting. Isn't it interesting how slogans and things catch on and cause people to move people to action? And those catchy commercials that are put out there by Chick-fil-A with the cows on the billboards, and if you've been traveling, you see them all the time. Some of them are just hilarious. It makes you think. It sticks in your mind. And if I'm going to stop for chicken, and I may just be thinking about chicken when I may have been going for a burger, right? Huh? Well, we see things like that happen all the time. One of the most phenomenal advertising things I've seen in the last, probably, I think in my lifetime, to be honest, has been the amount of bacon we're consuming today. You know, 15 years ago, people generally would like bacon here or there. They might have it for breakfast. They may not. It may be something they really like, but it wasn't a craze by any means. Well, the Pork Council decided to do something about it. And they started lobbying all kinds of different businesses to promote bacon. So we started seeing really weird things like bacon pajamas. Huh? There was even dogs that went nuts over bacon dog food. Remember that? Bacon, bacon. And everywhere you looked, there was bacon. And all of a sudden, people got to have bacon. Guess what happened? We cannot produce enough pork right now in this country. So along with the bacon, you can't just have pork bellies. You also have the rest of the pork. So then barbecue pit masters came along and all the cooking shows with those things, focusing on pork and barbecue. All of a sudden, this industry has just blown wide open. And it's all been through clever advertising. Well, I'm not going to ask you to be clever when it comes to the Word of God this morning. But the point I'm trying to make is that do people know who we are, and do we talk about the God that loves us so dearly? And what would happen if we talked a little more? Or if we looked for opportunities in which to share him? You see, if people never hear about him, how are they going to know to ask? You know, Chris just mentioned that, you know. He wants to go to Chile. Well, why would you go to Chile? Well, because there's people in Chile that don't know who Jesus is, the same way there is here and everywhere else. And the key to the point you made this morning, which went so long, along so well with what I want to talk about, is making disciples to make disciples. Are we making disciples to make disciples? Is the word of Jesus Christ getting out there? And what can we do to change the fact that it's not? And the reason I answered the question about if it's getting out there or not. It is, but not nearly to the extent that the Word of God should or could be getting out there. And what are we going to do about it? You know, I talk to young families all the time. And one of their great concerns, I talk to grandparents, one of their great concerns is, what is going to happen with the youth in our country, and what, when we're gone, where are they going to be? What are they going to, how are they going to be, what's the world going to be like? Are they going to be able to function a normal Christian life without being under persecution? You know, what's going to become of our country? And many times people think, well, we're on a runaway train, and a runaway train is going, you know, it's going to happen. I'll just pray they're safe and okay. Boy, if that isn't a defeatist attitude, there is nothing. Now, not the prayer part. We certainly want to keep the prayer in. Guys, look up a passage for me real quick. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. I pray I got it right because that one just came from memory. Call unto me. Let me paraphrase. Call unto me and I'll answer you. And I'll show you great and mighty things that you haven't even imagined. Wow. See, are we calling on the Lord and are we trusting the Lord? Are we calling on the Lord and saying, Lord, you know what, we live in a tough time and a tough culture, and we really want people to know you, and we really care about our future. Lord, we're calling on you. Lord, not just for you to act and do something, but that you will mobilize us to be part of that plan and that we will have the desire in our heart to do it. And not go from the head to the feet, but go from the heart to the head to the feet. In other words, my heart's where it should be. It's telling my head what to do, and my head's telling my feet to move and do it. Are we doing that? Do we really truly believe what God says? Do we really truly believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life? And no one comes unto the Father but by him. Do we really believe that? And if we really believe that, don't we desire for not just our family and our children and our friends and our acquaintances, but people all over the world that we don't even know, do we desire that they know that? I truly believe that if you have Christ in your life, you cannot not desire that. Because he gives us a true love in our heart for all people and a desire for people to know the Lord. I've used this example many times. I think I just might have a week ago. Of we see people that we hear these news stories where someone walks by someone being beaten on the street and they keep right on walking. How could they not stop and do something? Folks, how can we walk by people every day and see them at work and not have a concern that they know my Jesus? Can we? So are we actively going to do something? Slogans. You know, slogans may come into it. You know, there's a reason they print t-shirts that I was wearing one the other day at the radio station. I love it. Clay bought it for me for Christmas. It says, y'all need Jesus on it. And believe me, when I go to that radio station, there's a bunch of people that y'all need Jesus. But I don't do that to be flippant. I do that to put a thought in their mind. Do you understand what I mean? And I want them to know where I'm coming from, that this is what I believe. You know what I mean? People don't have any problem wearing a brown shirt or a Bengals hat. Well, Browns might have trouble with a Bengals hat. But you know what I mean? Who are you advertising? Who do you believe in? You must ask that question. I had a pastor growing up, and I loved him dearly. Dr. Brock was a great man, great Bible teacher. But he was really old school, which I like old school too, don't get me wrong. But it just drove him crazy when people would have bumper stickers about Jesus. He would say, how in the world does anyone lower my holy God to the bumper of a car? I think he was missing the greater picture. It wasn't the fact that it was being lowered to the bumper of a car. It was being, when someone's behind you with the light, and you're saying something about, you see what I mean? We need to do that. We advertise things all the time in the world to tell people what we're about. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. It's kind of like, you know, I know a lot of guys that wear cowboy boots and hats that have never climbed on a horse. Can you imagine such a thing? Huh? Why do you want to wear those pointed boots with those high heels when you don't have any stirrups to put them in? But they want to feel that that's what they are, so that's what they do. And they want people to think this is my, I have a country mentality, so this is where, you know, lifestyle. But, you know, the thing is that you're right. You know, I'll tell you, if you're going to wear those t-shirts or advertise God in any fit, way, and form, it's just like with what comes out of our mouth, you know. It's kind of like that old bumper sticker that says, follow me to my church at blank, 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 you know, on the bumper sticker. And the guy's out there and he's screaming out the window at someone and throwing hand gestures in from his car. You know what I mean? You don't want that bumper sticker. Huh? You got a lot of looks. I'm in 2 Timothy this morning, chapter 4. Let's start with verse 16 of chapter 3 and read into it if we would. Verse 16 of chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in being right. Being right in your mind, being right in your heart, being right in your thoughts, being right in your process. Righteousness. That the man of God may be complete, a whole man. Folks, if you're not feeling whole this morning and you feel like there's missing people, things missing in your life, I promise you that can be filled through the Word of God and through direction and instruction. That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Doesn't say partially equipped. Well, I can read the Word of God and I can study it, but I've got to go to these other sources if I'm going to be complete, because you just can't get it all from the Bible. I don't argue with God, and He says that I can. Problem is, folks, we're not studying the Word of God, are we? We're not digging into the Word of God. We live in a time when we have every commentary available to us on every passage and every verse in the Bible if we struggle with understanding. A lot of us struggle with reading comprehension. There are helps out there to help you. But everything that you need is in this book. People always ask me, Pastor, do you have a good book on and you can fill in the blank? And be honest with you, I do. And we have them available at the church. But, you know, I should always have an answer for that. Because whether I have something written by a Christian author or a psychologist or whatever, I know that I have the Word of God written by my holy God. And if they say, do you have a good book on this? I say, yep, it's right here. But you got to study it. You got to pick it up. You can't just leave it laying and grow dust. Oh, what a precious thing to have. Isn't it? The first Christmas when Shirley and I were dating, first thing I bought her was a new Bible. She didn't have one. She still has that Bible. But even though I was not exactly where I needed to be, I understood and knew that more than any other thing, she needed to have the Word of God. How important is it to us today? I've been really contemplating. Some of you my guys might not like this. I pray it wouldn't make you get mad and stomp your feet and walk out of the church if I did it. But we're going to get new pew Bibles. Our pew Bibles are so small a print, and didn't realize it when we got them at the time, that you have to be a 12-year-old with perfect vision to see it. And they don't do a lot of people good. And I want new pew Bibles that are a sizable print that people could actually see. But when we do, I'm really considering asking people to leave the electronics at home, or at least put them in their pocket, or to shut them off. And I'll tell you why. We need to learn and understand and be able to navigate, our way through the Word of God. What happens when the electronics quit working? Oh, I can't read my Bible. My phone's down. Another problem we have with those electronics is that when I'm sitting there, and I'm guilty of this as anyone, you guys that know me know it, you're sitting there and all of a sudden, beep. You look down, someone's calling you. It's awfully hard to resist not to look at that or answer that or do something. It takes you completely off track. We have the Word of God in front of us, And there's very few of you. If you don't have a Bible, tell me. I'll give you one. We do that all the time. Open your Bible and begin to read it. Begin to study it. Do you know one of my favorite things that I do in my life is when I sit down and read the Word of God and I let the Lord talk to me. Isn't that great? Yeah, but Pastor, how do you do that? It's not always easy. We're busy, crazy people. And we get out of bed in the morning, our feet hit the floor, and our mind starts going to all the things we have to do and where we have to be. And there's the Bible. Well, I put the Bible right by my chair where I sit down and drink a cup of coffee. And, you know, some mornings I'm in a real hurry. And I'm thinking, well, maybe I can skip it this morning. I'll look down at the corner of my eye and I see that Bible laying there. And I think, no, I can't. No, I can't. How hard is it to stop really and take that minute? We are so sidetracked during the day. Hey, look, if you're late for work, just run four more lights. Read your Bible anyway. Huh? Tough cop set. Pastor said, read my Bible anyway, and if I have to speed to work and run lights, do it, but don't mess up. I charge you, therefore, before God, this is in chapter 4, verse 1, I charge you, now, understand here, now, Paul is talking to young Timothy here, a young pastor, but this completely applies, trust me, to every one of us, because every one of us are called to share the Word of God. So I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at His appearing. Okay, so He set the groundwork. He's charging you before God, who will God that will, Jesus Christ, will judge the living and the dead at His appearing. Okay? So, first of all, we know we're not going to bypass that judgment, that time and when He looks. What have you done for me, Christian? What have you done for the kingdom? What have you done for the Lord? Right? His kingdom. Preach the word. Preach the word. There's one. Now, He's talking to a pastor, remember. Not all of you can preach, but all of you can tell. All of you can share. Look, if you have trouble getting a conversation started, wear the t-shirt. Huh? I was talking to a group of young people years ago in Sunday school, and I said, how do you guys talk in school about the Lord? How do you bring that up? You know, well, I don't know. It's not that easy. You know, kids, I mean, how do you get in that conversation? I said, it's easy. Wear a provocative t-shirt that's going to make them ask questions. We're not allowed to do that. I said, oh, yes, you are. Don't be fooled. So we designed these t-shirts. And the t-shirt said, had a cross on the back. Some of you may remember this if you're around back then. And it said, the difference you make is the stand that you take. In the middle of the cross. What was wrong with that, right? I said, now, I want all of you to wear this to school Monday, and they did. And they wore the t-shirts, and kids started saying, what does that mean? Voila! Icebreaker. Conversation starter. And they all came back to me, and they told me the conversations that came out of that. I said, did any of you get in trouble? No. You mean you were allowed to wear those? No one said anything or told us we couldn't. I said, exactly. You see what I mean? It's not that hard. We just have to think of ways to do it. When the pork industry was falling on its nose, and a group of executives got together with advertisers and said, what can we do? They actually went to the thought process of what can we do to make people think pork. So what can we do to make people think Jesus? We got to put them in a place where they can think about Jesus. And if you're a backward person that has to have an icebreaker, figure out an icebreaker. But don't just not do it because you say, oh, that's not me. Because it is you. in some form. What if, top of my head, what if you sew a little baby receiving blanket? And you go through the newborn moms and the paper and you send them to a newborn mom along with a little note that says, "So I know you don't know me, but God loves you and so do I. And I hope your baby has a wonderful life with some scripture," and just send it to him. Wow. See, that was just off the top of my lame head. Can you imagine what you could come up with? You understand what I mean? I'm not asking you to be clever and silly. I'm asking you to think, God, what can I do in the place that I'm in that I can begin to feel more free and build confidence in sharing who you are with these people because I love them? We're not going to get anything out of it here. You're not going to gain popularity. You're not going to get money. People aren't going to talk about how great you are. The Bible says if that's what you're looking for, your reward's right here. You'll never see it in heaven. I love this. Be ready in season and out of season. What does that mean? Be ready whether it's a time of convenience and you expect it or whether you're not. Chris came in this morning, told me what they were doing. I said, "Chris, I'm putting you on the spot. When we start, you're going to go up and tell people what you're doing." Okay. That's called being out of season. Right? We all need to be there. If someone asks you about why you believe what you believe, are you ready with a response? I bet if you spent time in here, you would be. You see my point about the Bible? We got to be ready. We got to know. We got to learn. And then it says, convince. Pastor, you can't convince anybody about the Bible. That has to be something they get on their own. Well, folks, give them some tools. They're not going to automatically know the truth if you don't give them the truth up front so they can understand it and learn it. Of course they have to make decisions on their own. But you have to give them the argument from God. Did not Jesus teach? Right? What was he doing in his teaching? He was convincing. The Holy Spirit works, but there's got to be something to work with. The Ethiopian eunuch, what did he say to Philip? Huh?
What must I do to be saved?
Yeah, and then what did he say? How will I know unless someone teach me? Right? That's what we do. Convince. Rebuke. What? Rebuke. Someone's going to not like me. So what? Be honest. Rebuke. That's wrong. My God doesn't like that. And he doesn't like you doing it. And you know what? You can have a wonderful life. And God can do so many wonderful things for you. But you have to understand, my God is holy. And my God has standards. And we have to live to those standards and desire to live to those standards. We're never going to make it here on earth living to those standards. We can't. It's an imperfect world. It's full of sin and ugliness. But we can't just tell people that, you know, oh, it's okay. Just do what you want. God is love. God is love. But God is also wrath and anger when it comes to sin and to Satan and to things that are wrong. Let me ask a simple question. If somebody is doing something in their life that I know they're going down a road that is going to hurt them, is going to separate them from God, but I don't want to hurt their feelings, I want them to like me and to feel good about themselves, so I'm going to put my arm around them and say, "It's all good." Folks, that is not love. Matter of fact, I'd be pretty right if I said, I think it's hate. Because if I don't care about where someone's life is leading them, how can I say that I love them while they're walking down a road to separation from God? But what if I tell someone, you know, that's really not, you shouldn't be doing that, man. Let me explain why. Let me explain to you about a God that loves you so much that He wants you to have a life that He designed for you, where you'll know joy and peace. Let me tell you about that. But I have to be honest with you, that's not going to include your current activity. He's a holy God, but He's a just God. Who loves that person? The one that wanted them to be happy and be their friend, or the one that really wanted them to be happy and be their friend? You see the difference? And unfortunately today, many Christians have gone down that road of wanting everyone to like them. Well, I want to tell you something. When they stand in the final judgment before God, they're not going to like you very well for not being honest with them. It's part of that convince thing. And then it says, for the time will come, or exhort, let me get that, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. All longsuffering. Folks, be patient with those around you who struggle. Don't be so black and white that you slam them into a wall all the time. You've got to tell the truth with love and with patience and with understanding. All of us have been in a place in our life where we were stubborn, where we didn't want to listen to the truth, and all of those things that go with it. But somebody probably was long-suffering and praying for you daily. Do you understand that? Yes. For a time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Boy, do we know that, huh? How in the world was he writing this a couple thousand years ago? Could have wrote it yesterday. Oh, you can't believe this stuff. That's old doctrine. No, 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 no. Sound doctrine. It's what this book meant yesterday, today, and forever. It does not change. It's as relevant today as the day that it was written. But there's many today that won't endure that. You're too old-fashioned. You're A, you're B. You know, there's only one way people are going to know that what people say negatively about us is wrong. And that is if we show them the difference and live the difference and tell them the difference. But they will live according to their own desires. What? Man, I see that every day. What I want's more important than what that says. If it doesn't agree with what I say, it must be old-fashioned. They'll live according to their own desires because they have itching ears. They want to hear something to support what they believe. I'm not going to that church anymore. They've got too many things that I don't agree with that I think we shouldn't pay attention to anymore. I'm going to find a church that agrees with me. Well, I'm sure you can. But I would be I would be very afraid to call them the church. Because the church is the body of Christ. And the body of Christ listens to Christ, not to society. If they're listening to society instead of Christ, they are not the church. They've just taken on the name. But according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers. And they will turn their heads away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. Stories, lessons, things that make them feel good. They can go home and, I still feel good about myself. I'll go live any way that I want. And you know what? It's all good in the end. That's one phrase I can't stand. It's all good. Because it can be all good. But all good today too many times means come see, come saw. What everyone does is fine. I'm not going to worry about it. Guys, I love God and God loves you. And He desires the very best for you. And you're not going to have it with that attitude. And it finishes with this. And he says, but you, and I'll add in young Timothy, be watchful in all these things. Endure the afflictions. Yes, if you tell the truth, you will suffer affliction. There will be people that don't want to hear what you have to say. But you know what I find? I find the more you tell the truth, the more you go out there and do it, the more you feel the comfort of God, and He gives you the strength. Those afflictions are, so what? They're there. They're not going to be there when I die and go to heaven. I hope I can endure what's left of life. Jesus Christ sure endured enough on the cross for me. I suppose I should be able to endure a little affliction. Do the work of the evangelist and fulfill your ministry. Folks, till the day we draw our last breath, our desire needs to be for this world to know our Savior Jesus Christ. And if our main goal is anything other than that, we are off step. Because He will incorporate evangelism into your job, into your family, into your life goal. Do we desire for people to know Jesus? I pray that if you don't this morning, that your sincere desire is to ask the Lord to open your heart to a heart of love and compassion for those that don't know Him. And that if you don't know Him this morning, you would ask Him to open your heart to accept Him as your Lord and Savior. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank You for this day. Lord, for everything that You give us and for who You are, I thank You for Your many blessings for each and every person today. As we go out from here today, Lord, I ask that in our heart we realize we're walking into a mission field and to treat it as such and to love people and desire that they know You. We ask these things in Your precious name. Amen.